Thank you, Kyle. Yes. I first off just wanted to say a thank you and appreciation for everybody who's been really wonderful to us over the last couple of weeks. Ginny was born almost 2 weeks ago, so I brought some pictures for you all to see. She is doing great, and Mom is doing great, too. So thanks, everybody, for all your interest and all your care and all your desire to help us. We appreciate it. Doesn't she look great? Look at those boys, too. They look great. Look at them, they look great. So happy. Love it. So I've shared before here at Brownline that a big source of life for me week in, week out is my men's group through this church. We get coffee every Friday. Each of us share how we're doing, and then we just pray for each other. It's really simple. It's great. We get to know the baristas at the coffee shop that we go to. It's a lot of fun. And one of the most meaningful experiences I had as a part of this group was 3 years ago, and it came to mind this week for me as I was preparing to lead us in our volunteer thank you. So this Friday 3 years ago, I think, or maybe it was 4 years ago, it's a little hazy, but it was a rough Friday morning for me. I do remember specifically how I was feeling. I was feeling down. I was feeling, do you know how there are some stresses and hardships that we face that are like tied to something we know will pass, and those are hard, right? But there are certain stresses or like frustrations or fears or angers that come to us and they just keep coming to us. They're patterns in our lives. You know, like you grow and you move on to the next season of your life and oh, that stress and that fear keeps coming back. It just stays with you. And those are the ones, I wonder, I don't know, does anybody have stresses like that they just can't seem to leave behind? Yeah, those are the ones that really weigh on me. And I was feeling that this Friday morning. That morning in particular, it was this longing to see this church, Brownline Vineyard, explode on the north side of Chicago, like become like lots of people hear about it and become connected with it and see amazing connection with God and connection with community happening in their lives because of our church. And I just wasn't seeing the explosion. I wasn't seeing like the freak of nature growth, you know? I longed to see that. I care about this so much. I want other people to experience what I've experienced. Because I'm like everyone. I long to feel important. I long to feel like I matter, to feel like I'm acknowledged and celebrated for the work that I do. And I didn't feel like a failure that Friday morning, but I didn't feel like a success. And that's where I was. And so my turn to share, and our men's group comes, and so I share with everybody, this is how I'm feeling. I'm just kind of feeling, I'm not feeling like a failure, but I'm not feeling like a success, and it's just weighing on me. I just feel like I'm scrapping, and I've been scrapping, and I'll keep scrapping, and that's where I am. And so everybody, as we do, each time we get together, they hear me, and they listen, and they're just attentive, and then everybody prays for me. And as we're praying, one of the guys in the group says, he like stops and he says, I feel like God is highlighting something to encourage you that I want to share with you. And it's one of those things that's so obvious it's hard to see. It's hidden in plain sight. I said, okay. And he shares that, I'm not sure you realize, Vince, but none of the four of us guys, the other four guys in this group with me, would be going to church at all if not for Brownline Vineyard, your church. And I just kind of stopped and I thought about that for a minute. And he, like all four of the guys, they echo. They say, oh yeah, of course, we wouldn't. Yeah. And the reason is because churches in general have felt culturally foreign to them. Like they didn't feel like they fit well in religious settings or church settings. Not because they didn't believe in God or didn't have a spirituality, but because of the way that churches just tend to talk about life, tend to talk about how to move forward in life. That often the way that's talked about in churches is that it's sort of set up at odds with these guys' lives and their cultures and many of the lessons they've learned in life and the stories and the movies that they'd loved and the jokes that they laughed at. It's as if their culture was sort of set up as like the enemy, that the dark side that needed to be turned to the light. At the very least, these guys all shared, like, yeah, I feel like churches have always been speaking a different language than me, or have just, I don't know, they've not been asking the questions that I've been asking. Until each of them in their own way ended up connecting at Brownline Vineyard. And they said that the unique culture and the vision here has felt like home. It hasn't felt like it's at odds with who they are or where they came from. It hasn't felt like they are enemies that have to be turned to the away from the dark side and toward the light. But it's made them feel like a welcome part of this faith community. And they shared, like, oh man, you know, like, I think we'd probably be, you know, have some semblance of a prayer life. We'd probably believe in God if not for this church. But, like, deep community where you can laugh with each other and cry with each other, I don't think we'd have that. You know, a regular experience of that. I don't think we'd have such a picture of a God who is close and loving like Jesus rather than just like cold and distant and maybe out there and cares a little bit. They wouldn't have that picture. A picture of life and of the world that includes hope and not just cynicism. They said, I don't think we'd have that if not for your church. So, I mean, that memory, that Friday of sharing as honestly as I could about, like, I have this longing and it's just not happening and I feel like I'm not a success. And then hearing all of that, that was amazing. I go back to this memory regularly of these guys praying for me and then sharing this and just echoing it and just laying it on of, like, hold on, you're not a success? What? Can we share how we've experienced this thing? And it just felt like God spoke to me in that. And I return to that memory. I return to that memory every time that I step back and I think about what it is that we're doing here. Why do we get together every Sunday? Why do we get people together in small groups throughout the week? Why do we try to help people talk about life in a way that doesn't come up in the day in, day out of just doing your life? I think about this memory. It reminds me also of a story in the Bible that I've been using a lot lately to tell people about this church, tell our church's story, and why this church really, when I'm at my best, it gets me up in the morning working for this church. So the story I'm thinking of is from the book of Acts, at which chronicles the earliest followers of Jesus, they're developing the earliest communities around Jesus, the first churches. And in chapter 17 of Acts, we're following St. Paul, who has a unique position in his society. For various reasons, he developed a mutual respect with both the majority people group in his society, that's Greek culture Romans. So they're Roman citizens, they tie their life to the Greek culture, which is like the Greek mythology you learned about when you were a kid, or if anybody learned about the beginnings of democracy in Greece. And so that's who they are. That's the majority people group. He had respect from them, but he was unique because he also had a great deal of mutual respect with the religious minority group that he belonged to, the Jews. And that was extremely unique because in general in that time there was animosity between the Greeks and the Jews. They often defined themselves in terms of not being the other. So the purity-focused Jews tended to demonize all non-Jewish Greeks. The word that we often see in the Bible is Gentiles. They would demonize Gentiles and their religious and social practices. It's evil, irredeemable. And according to some scholars, there are records of basically the ancient equivalent of nursery rhymes that were taught to children, and you would sing something to the effect of, I'd rather be a dog than a Gentile, and that was taught to Jewish children at the time. So just to give you kind of a feel of the animosity there. And Greeks, unsurprisingly, responded in kind with their own unique prejudice right back, which often, unfortunately, from that side meant violence and domination because they were the powerful people group. So it's a really fraught relationship. And counter to that hostile backdrop, we get something like this. I'll show you. This is what Paul, who's a Jew, spoke about God and about faith in Jesus to the Greeks in the city-state Athens. It's up here on the screen for you. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath, and all things. From one blood, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. And he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people to turn toward him, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness, not in tyranny, by a man, Jesus, whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising Jesus from the dead. So I love the way Paul speaks here, and I'll tell you why. As he shares, he's obviously sharing about incredible life change he's experienced, and he's obviously sharing about very broad, big picture hope that he sees in the entire world, the entire universe. He's talking about, you know, all nations coming from one blood. This is a big picture hope that he has. And as he shares about this and what he's found in following Jesus, he is not in the least bit condemning of other religious perspectives. Do you notice that? He professes genuine respect for the Greeks. He even appeals to their sources of truth. He quotes their poets as he's talking to them about Jesus. He does not say, leave everything you've known, curse it as evil, trade it for an entirely different path that is the true way. He says the path you are already on can lead you to the same Jesus I've come to know. That really speaks to me. Paul uses his unique position of having respect with both of these groups, and he continues what Jesus' life was all about. He builds bridges. He increases compassion for neighbor. He shows self-sacrificial love, not ethnocentrism and stroking your own ego and making yourself feel important. And at Brownline Vineyard, we want to do what Paul did with his unique position. I think that's what these four guys in my men's group those years ago, who never had felt at home at other churches, have experienced here. In our environment, it's not Greeks versus Jews. We don't experience that today. But isn't it often wider culture versus Christianity? Isn't that what we experience? Christianity is so often used by people to define themselves as separate or above or against all of that is quote-unquote secular. That's what's felt so enemying, I think, to so many people, so culturally foreign to these guys in my men's group, with the brushes and with churches that they'd had before Brownline Vineyard. I think what they needed was a message like Paul's in Acts 17, and I think they needed a messenger like Paul, who's not giving off a vibe of turn from the dark side and come to the light. Kyle's in my sense when we started this church was that we are in a kind of Paul-like position in our own way, that both of us through the course of our lives have developed a strong faith in Jesus in the way that that's guided us and given us hope and changed us for the better. And we want to share that with people. But also, both of us have never fit very well culturally in religious settings. And we can use that unique position to show respect to our wider culture and invite people in who maybe never would be invited into a church setting otherwise, like these guys in my men's group. But here is, as Kyle previewed, what I'm really excited to share this morning. And that is that a vision or a message, even a powerful one, is nothing without people to carry it. If it is just me and my friend Kyle sitting over coffee talking about stuff, we're like, yeah, this is great, right? Yeah. And that's about all we can accomplish, is saying, yeah, this is great. Do you want another coffee? Sure. What it takes week in, week out, to keep at what I think is our 21st century America version of Acts 17, what it takes to keep at this week in, week out, is people. It takes tons and tons of people who are willing to raise their hand and volunteer themselves for this vision, for this mission. every single volunteer task, and even, I want to say, as we think about this church, the ones that feel less meaningful to us is a part of this vision. And so from setting up bagels and donuts to plugging in an audio cable to carrying in a crying six-month-old while you comfort it, each of these things helps to create this Acts 17-like space because they all join together to make people feel welcome, to make people feel safe, to give off the vibe of Paul as he talks to the Athenians, showing respect, offering genuine help, and not giving off a vibe of turn from the dark side to the light. We know better than you. And yet the results go way beyond just the guys in my men's group. We love to share. So we survey regularly that how many people have who are connected with this church on any given Sunday that were not going to a church previously before they connected in with Brownland Vineyard. We ask this question regularly because it helps us to give a sense of, are we talking to that wider world with everybody, or are we just shuffling around people who would already be going to churches, or are we doing the Acts 17 thing? And what we found that on any given Sunday when you're here, 30 to 40% of the people that you're going to meet or interact with or talk to, they were not going to a church regularly before connecting with Brownland Vineyard. 30 to 40%. Sociologists estimate that for most churches in America, that number is 5 to 10%. So that's pretty strikingly different when you experience this community here. And I think it is volunteering. I think it is all of the people who give in small ways, give in big ways, lead teams, be a part of crafting the vision and figuring out how do we accomplish this? How do we get this word out to more people? How do we make people feel safe to connect with Jesus when they're here? All of those people's tasks and volunteer roles and volunteer willingness pooling together to do what it is we've been able to do. And so today is, as Kyle said, about thank you, saying thank you. And so it's not just me who's going to be up here and wanting to say thank you. We've invited a number of our team leaders to be a part of saying thank you this morning to everybody who has done anything. If you have, gone to pick up your kids at Kids Church and just decided, oh, I'll clean up that clipboard and put it back in the folder for them. That's volunteering. We are so, because honestly, I'm a parent and I realize, parents, it's really hard to volunteer. You have so many things coming at you. So if you have volunteered in any small way, we do have a little small thank you gift for you to take away that I'm going to start passing around the room here. And as I do that, can I invite our team leaders, who you guys know who you are, to come up to the mic here. We're going to give, they have some special specific thank yous to give. So you guys come up. Let's give them a hand. And we have a small thank you for you, for everyone to take. So please, as this basket comes to you, take a thank you pen with Brownland Vineyard engraving on it. Would you pass those, Kyle? Thank you much. Great. Yeah, you know what, Kyle? You take one. You have done great work. I appreciate that. So first up, let me have Elizabeth and Sergio come up. Is that something? Oh, Kyle wants to say something quick.
So just to clarify, if you've ever volunteered at Kids Church, if you've ever helped us tear down, even if you weren't supposed to help us tear down, if you've ever seen trash on the floor and thought somebody else could pick that up, but then picked it up yourself, please take a pen. We have enough. Yeah.
Sergio and Elizabeth, you guys did.
Hello. Hi. We're part of the music team here at Brownland Vineyard, and we just wanted to say overarching thanks to everyone who helps out in both performing music with us, leading worship with us, and also setting up the audio for us to sound good, which is really important for both of us as well. In particular, we wanted to thank both someone who's helped out in the worship team and also someone who's been helping out a lot in the audio realm. I don't know. Shout outs to David Bell, very much like a very dependable person. I think very much like we put the bat signal up and he shows up and he's always here to help out in a time of need. And we also want to give a shout out to Nate, Does he come up yet? Yeah, come on, now he comes up to get a gift. He's like always psyched. He's always like, yeah, what's up? Yeah, see? And that's always like such a great thing to have at 8 in the morning when we're here like setting up and he's just like full of energy and it gets me psyched too. So that's always a great thing, gets us psyched. So we just want to say thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Okay, next up, I believe we have Allison, who leads our logistics teams and Sunday shoppers. So, Allison.
All right. Good morning. So, I think it's, I was thinking as you were talking, that it really relates to today's situation, because I want to give a personal thank you to my team this morning of Tammy and Abby, yeah. Where I was having bike, yes, woo! I was late because I was having bike issues, and I showed up, and they had everything under control, and they were totally fine, and Vince jumped in and helped, and someone new to the church, Tommy, jumped in and helped, and everyone was just, like, filling in the space for me not being here, and that was really great. So even as you were speaking, I was like, yeah, even today, that was so clear. So I do want to give an overall thank you to everyone who's a coordinator on Sunday mornings. I think our coordinators now, it's Heather and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Trisha and Kevin. And then all the Sunday shoppers, too, because it's very important that every Sunday we have people who are going and getting the donuts and the bagels and the juice. So Zoe and Rob, who are new to the team, and Eric and Steve and Mike. So my very specific thank you today is for Steve, who is also not here, because he does double duty as a coordinator and a Sunday shopper. And as someone who's a fellow teacher, knowing that he gives up at least 2 early weekend mornings a month to help BLV is just very important and very appreciated. So thanks to Steve. I'll give him his card sometime.
All right, we're going to have Christina and Kyle, who jointly make kids happen. So thank you guys especially from the bottom of my tired heart.
Hi, everybody. I am here. I have the honor of getting to thank the people who make Kids Church possible. And the kids' lead team is Kyle, Eric Marsden, Linda Kim, Alex Shepherd, and myself. And we also work with a really big, great group of volunteers. Some are parents, but so many are not parents, who choose to not be in here for worship or the amazing music, but they say, yes, I'm going to make it a special time for the kids in Kids Church. And they work really hard to meet them where they are. They build, they read, they pretend, they intervene on the occasion when necessary. And they help the kids experience God and Jesus through child-centered activities, story, art, music. And so I really want to thank everyone who is a part of that, because the kids really enjoy their time, and we wouldn't be able to do that without all the volunteers. And someone who really stuck out as I was thinking about this is Alex Shepherd. She could come down. And I wanted to highlight Alex today because I feel like her creative ideas might feel small in the moment, but they actually make really big impacts on the group of kids. And she's also really good at switching gears when necessary, depending on what the kids are doing. And she just sees them where they are and meets them and engages them there, which is so important to forget the adult agenda and let kids be kids. So, Alex, thank you so much.
So I have a special thank you.
Wait, I have one more.
No, he
one more
never, don't,
do
and
last.
We'll wait
be,
for
it'll
that.
Be special
right.
That way.
Yeah, there you go.
We have just one more thank you before Kyle's special thank you that I wanted to give. One of the most consistent ways that service happens in this church is the warming center through our friends at Res Cove Church. And so anytime there's a fifth Friday of a month, Brownline Vineyard staffs a team. It was actually just this last Friday, I believe. Yep, Nate was there. That's right. And that we come together, we serve a meal to like 40 to 50 guests of neighbors in the Brownland area who are experiencing homelessness. And we have a number of volunteers who have helped with that at various times. But there's one volunteer in particular who has been most consistent. And so we also want to give a special shout out to that person, Mr. Kevin Williams. So, Kevin. Kevin has been awesome. He is our most consistent Warming Center volunteer. And also, I get to hang out with him once a month for our podcast group, which is really fun. I'm going to pretend to give you a card because I already gave it to you. There we go. Isn't that nice? Yeah, great. It's a really nice card. It's amazing. So, okay, Kyle has one more special. Where did you go? Special, thank you. There you go.
And also a special date. We had multiple people in the church move this weekend, and I saw David show up in multiple places. This is probably why you can't be here today. You can't stand. But first, we want to have one more thank you of somebody. So Anna Cruz, who is our prayer coordinator, picked out somebody that she really just thought stood out. Every week, we have a team of people in this middle section available to pray. And it's just a wonderful space for people that have things going on in life, things that get stirred up here. And the things that we always like pride ourselves on in that space is that it is a very just normal, not weird, not like, it just feels like another human being is caring for you and then helping facilitate you getting cared for by God. Anna Cruz said there was one person, she was so thankful for the entire team, but wanted to give a special thank you for somebody that was really consistent and really appreciative, and that is Angela Rack. If Angela wants to come on up, yes. Thank you, Angela. And just everybody that volunteers here, we are just so thankful for you. We really, not only is this church not possible for it, but actually I think one of the signs of the things that I think speak to the health of this church and the things that I feel excited about is how few things Vince and I have to do right now. Not because I don't like doing things, but how much of what we do now is not actually doing every little thing, but is helping set up all of the people here that are doing things. Because here's the deal, is Vince and I, particularly as two white guys in our 30s, have a very narrow perspective on the world, even as much as we try. And the only way our church is ever going to be a place that speaks to and cares for people coming from all sorts of perspectives is if we're able to have more people doing things, more people speaking, more voices happening. And because of the reality of who we are, that needs to happen through volunteers. And so we're just so thankful for everybody that does that, because it enables us to do a vision that we could never do by the reality of us starting this church as two white dudes in our 30s. So thank you to everybody. There is one last thank you.
You might call it a special.
A special thank you that I wanted to, is although it was in my pocket. Oh, it fell. Okay. All right. I had another thing that I had, but it's not, oh, it's in my back pocket. Okay. So I also have the joy, as Christina mentioned, of being kind of the pastoral care side of our kids team. And this is a particular thing that about a year ago, actually multiple, almost every year we sit down and we go, what is the thing that is like the most make or break for us as a church? What is the thing that we need to see come together? What do we need to see grow? And every year it has been kids church. We don't want it just to be glorified babysitting. We really want to create a space where people learn about who God is, learn about what faith looks like, not just through the things we teach them, but through how the adults treat them. So when we imagine as adults, what does God look like? Those images that are first there are formed by, first of all, our parents, and second of all, any other adults that were involved in a faith community we were a part of. And so what's happening in there for us is like the most important thing happening here on Sundays. Like, yes, we want you to be here and you're doing great stuff, but what's happening in your brain will take like a year to develop into what can happen in developing in a kid's brain in 1 week over there. And so again, a special thank you to all of our volunteers. A special thank you again to Alex Miller, Eric Marsden, Linda Kim, who's literally in there right now doing that. And then as our kids leads. And then there's one last special thank you, which is Christina, who not only is a kids lead, but has developed our monthly parent newsletter and has actually developed our entire curriculum. Like everything we do on Sunday is things that I have not come up with, which we're all thankful for. But instead, Christina's come up with things that are age appropriate, things that are engaging, things that teach children about the character of who God is. So we want to go ahead and invite Christina Culver down one more time. Sorry for making you go all the way back up. And we have a special thank you for her. It is a Brown Line Vineyard tote bag. What? It's a special thank you. So thank you to everybody. Appreciate it a lot, Christina. All of the time and hours that you spend, not only in there with kids, but helping develop all the things that we do as a parent and as a pastor. Thank you so much. So thank you to everybody. One last applause. Yes.
So chances are, if we're saying thank you to you today, then Brown Line Vineyard and its vision isn't the only thing that you say yes to. Chances are, you are those people with that amazing quality, a part of you that is just like willingness, wants to say yes to things. And people with that amazing quality, well, we are prone to burnout. You know, you're prone to, you have the opportunity of being in the crosshairs of such a life that is so full of meaning and so full of things beyond yourself. That is the Jesus way of living, and so that's wonderful. But the other thing that Jesus experienced is betrayal and exhaustion. And when we are saying yes to things, when we are making our lives about things larger than ourselves, about other people and their interests and not just our own, we get tired, and that is a real threat to all of us. And the other part of the Jesus way that we see is that Jesus did not live alone. He did not live thinking that he could just do things based on willpower. He regularly, it says, retreated to quiet places to be refilled and rejuvenated. And he was richly connected to a community of close friends that poured into him and that he showed himself to. And so in the spirit of that, as we close for today and we're saying thank you, we also want to acknowledge that as all people say yes to things, and especially yes to volunteering in a context like this, our church, that can come with things that feel like cost. And so we want to be the place that resources you, the place that fills you up and refuels you and rejuvenates you so you can continue to say yes to such things, whether it is with this church or beyond. And so let me invite the band up. Let me ask you guys to stand with me, and I'm going to pray for us along those lines. Well, as I pray, you can close your eyes or open your eyes, whatever helps you to feel comfortable right now. Let me pray. God, for all of us who say yes in our lives, and I do just for my own appreciation here, I specifically call out you to just be there with those who say yes to this church. But so many of us say yes to so many things. So many things that are volunteer in nature, that are putting others' interests before ourselves, that are trying to build bridges or show love for neighbor or be self-sacrificial. Those are the activities of Jesus. And what a gift to be able to do those, to be able to step into those, and to be able to experience the meaning that we sometimes get to see when we do those things. But sometimes we don't get to see that. Sometimes it just feels tiring. It just feels costly. We've had a long week. Our vision is cloudy. Maybe we could see it on a different week, but we can't see it right now. And so for those of us who are in that kind of place where it just feels cloudy or hard to see how our yeses are connected to your great kingdom of God, Jesus, hard to see how our yeses are connected to doing anything that's really big beyond ourselves, I ask for your help now. I ask for your spirit to kind of clear out the cloudiness in our vision. Help us to see something. Help us to see our lives freshly. Help us to see all the yeses that we give in a new way. Help us to feel rejuvenated. I pray that as we sing together that we would feel filled up. And this would be like a back and forth between us and you, that we feel like we could sing words that are praises to you and then feel you responding in kind with your love and with your rejuvenation, that we'd feel our energy tank go up. And I pray that as we interact with those around us here today, that we would just feel grateful. We feel grateful to be a part of something where we're, in the best way, one blade of grass on a big lawn, and that would just feel connecting and special